Most compassionate and gracious and tender loving Father, we come to Thee and we think about Thy concern for the little ones of this world. We are so grateful that a child can be saved, that a baby can be saved, that Thou dost look with compassion upon them just as readily as upon anyone else. We are so grateful that only as we stand humbly before Thee, and regardless of how humble our position might be, we too can be saved. We must be as a little one before Thee. Oh, Father, we know that the world is interested in that which is mighty, that which is popular, that which brings fame and riches. We understand more and more that the kingdom of God is altogether antithetical to the kingdoms of this world, to the mores and the desires and the aspirations of this world. It's altogether opposite. Father, burn this within our lives that we may realize this and thus walk so humbly, so patiently before Thee. Father, may we have this compassionate concern also for others as Thou hast had for us. Thou hast been so patient in our lives if we are included amongst those who are saved. Thou hast paid for our sins. Thou hast forgiven us again and again and again. And Father, as we send forth the gospel, we pray that we too may have that compassion, that patience, that tenderness, that long-suffering, that kindness, that love that Thou hast expressed to us. And whether we bring a cup of cold water or whether it is a river of water that flows out of our life, we thank Thee that Thou wilt bless it in the lives of those whom Thou art blessing, that Thou art drawing to Thyself. Bless us now as we continue our study together in Jesus' name. Amen. In our last study, we discovered that God anticipated that there would be various denominations, that there would be those who would be faithfully bringing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they would not be necessarily identified with our particular group or our particular body at all. The important factor, of course, must be that they must be faithful to the Word of God. God is not giving any kind of a blanket approval to just anybody who comes in the name of Jesus. We saw that very clearly in our last study, I trust. But now we come to verse 41, and we saw there that whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. And we began to see that in the Bible, that water is a figure or a representation of the gospel itself as it is sent forth under the power of the Holy Spirit. And we saw in John 7 that Jesus declared that when the Holy Spirit would be poured out, and that began with Pentecost immediately after Christ went to the cross, and for the last 2,000 years virtually this has been true, that out of your bellies will flow rivers of living water. In other words, the power of Christ, of the gospel to save, would be a great and wonderful power that would emanate, would flow from the lives of the believers as they witnessed, as they testified of the grace of God, and there would be those who would be saved all through the world. We see this very dramatically on Pentecost when Peter preaches one sermon and 3,000 are saved. Rivers of living water flowing from Peter. The gospel is flowing forth in all of its grandeur, in all of its power, so that 3,000 are saved. And ever since that time, when the gospel has gone forth, there have been literally thousands upon thousands and millions in the world who have become saved. But in verse 41, Christ is talking about a cup of water. And a cup is a far different kind of figure than a whole river of water. It is only a little tiny spot of water as compared with the river of water. But is that little cup of water is it important in God's sight? We hear the evangelist, you know, who is the mighty evangelist, heralding the gospel in a great crusade, and people are sitting there with rapt attention, and apparently many are having their hearts stirred as God is dealing with them. And we say, oh, if only we could bring the gospel that way. Oh, if only God could use us with that same power. When we talk about the gospel to someone, or when we try to be of help to someone, what we have to say is so little, it is so insignificant, it is so unimportant. We find that, yes, we have been trying to encourage someone a little bit to read the Bible. We were able to tell someone, we are praying for you. We were able to point someone just a little bit to the Lord Jesus Christ so that they wouldn't have quite as great a concern. In one little way or in another little way, we have done something toward the gospel. We handed out a tract today. We gave our support, as little as it was, but it was all that we could do. But nevertheless, we gave it so that the gospel could go forth. All of this, you see, is like a cup of water. Is this important? Does God recognize this? Well, you see, in verse 41, Christ is giving us wonderful encouragement. Wonderful encouragement. Whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ. Regardless of how small our contribution to the sending forth of the gospel may be, regardless of how tiny it appears to be, it is important in the sight of God. It is not overlooked by God. It is something that God recognizes. Isn't that great encouragement? We don't all have to feel badly because we can't stand on that pulpit and speak in great eloquency to a mighty congregation. We don't all have to be able to stand behind a mic and speak to thousands by radio. We don't all have to do this or do that. In each of us, in the corner where we might be, in the little area of life where God has placed us, with the small talent that God has given us, we too can be a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can give a cup of water in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, what great encouragement this is! The mother who is teaching her children, the friend who is giving consolation to the loved one or the friend who is ill, the widow who is praying for the unsaved friend. Whatever the possibility may be, no matter how tiny it may appear to be, contrasting or proportionately like a cup of water would be to a river of water, nevertheless, it is important in God's sight. If we are doing it in the name of Christ, that is, on the authority of Christ, to the glory of Christ. Now, of course, if we're bringing the cup of water in our own name, for our own adulation, for our own self-aggrandizement, because we want to be recognized, whether it's a cup of water or whether it's a river of water, the only reward we're going to receive is the adulation of men. We will not have the blessing of God at all. We'll only receive the compliments of men and hear them say, oh my, what an eloquent sermon that was. Or, oh my, we sure are grateful to see your interest in the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we're doing it only for self-aggrandizement, then it's in our name, not in the name of Christ. Remember, the whole context of the Bible and of the kingdom of God is that we walk very humbly, that we must be very lowly of heart. We are to be very meek as we bring that cup of water, or as a river of water might flow from within us. And we are bringing it to the world, and for those Notice it says, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Let's look at this matter of reward for just a moment and try to discover what reward this is. Every time I talk about rewards, I feel this is a very solemn and important question. There are many, many in the world today who are diligently trying to serve Christ, diligently trying to be a minister of the gospel or to minister the gospel in some way or another, because deep in their heart they really believe they are building rewards for heaven. Have you ever heard this thought expressed by any pastors? You will be rewarded in heaven if you are very diligent. And what they're effectively saying, even though they may not say it as clearly as this, but if you listen to them, this is really what they're saying. Not only do you have salvation, but you also are going to experience special blessings. You're going to receive special crowns of glory. You're going to be a shade above anyone else in heaven. This particular line of thinking, of course, is antithetical to what we've just been reading concerning the kingdom of God, concerning what we have been learning regarding the kingdom of God. We've been learning that we are to walk very humbly, that we are to be of all men most meek. How can that have to do with the idea of receiving special blessings in heaven or whatever? Well, the fact is, nowhere does the Bible teach that we are to receive special blessings in heaven. We do receive rewards if we are bringing the cup of cold water. And notice why there is a reward in verse 41. Because ye belong to Christ. In other words, someone is giving you a cup of cold water, and because you belong to Christ, you will not lose your reward. Well, let's see how that figures out. Let me turn in Luke 18, to Luke 18. There we see Jesus dealing with his apostles. And Peter says in verse 28, lo, we have left all and followed thee. And from the context, the implication is, we have really laid our lives on the altar of service, Lord. There ought to be special blessings for us in eternity. We ought to have a special place in heaven because of what we have done. Peter, you see, has caught the thinking that is very prevalent today in the lives of many who are bringing the gospel. And then Jesus says in verse 29 of Luke 18, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake. In other words, it is someone here who is concerned about bringing the cup of cold water and rivers of living water so that others might have salvation. Verse 30, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time? Ah, you see, there are rewards as we faithfully bring the gospel in this present time. He shall receive manifold more. Have you ever brought a cup of cold water to someone? Have you ever ministered to someone with the gospel? And you saw their tension ease up. You saw them begin to relax again and under the almighty arms of Christ. You began to see them smile inside as they entrusted their life afresh to the Lord Jesus. Have you ever ministered a cup of cold water and you saw that someone began to repent of their sins and begin to cry out to God for mercy? Oh, what a blessing this is in our lives when we see a response, any kind of a response to the gospel. Oh, we feel so grateful inside to know that God is still saving, that God is faithful to all of His commitments. And isn't it marvelous that we have had this little part in helping someone else? That is the reward that comes to us, and it's a reward that is multiplied many times over as we are faithful in sharing the gospel with others, as we are bringing a cup of cold water to those who belong to Christ. And then we read in verse 30 of Luke 18, "And in the world to come, life everlasting." But life everlasting is something that every believer receives, whether he left home and father and mother, whether he laid his life on the altar of service all his lifetime, or whether he was saved in the last moment of his life. We all receive life everlasting. Yes, yes, indeed. Because, you see, life everlasting is the glorious salvation God has provided for us, and it's entirely a gift of God's grace, and it has nothing at all to do with the work that we did in sharing the gospel. The work that we do in sharing the gospel does not involve anything in the life hereafter at all. Fact is, the Bible teaches us that when we have been saved, we become heirs of God, and He freely gives us all things. God's storehouse of blessings are completely emptied on our behalf when we are saved. There is nothing else in God's storehouse to give us at all. Ah, dear one, you must realize never, never, never faithfully bring the gospel because you are looking for some kind of a reward in eternity. You are getting in the way of the grace of God. God already has given us everything that goes with salvation, that it is possible to give us just because by grace we have been saved. As a matter of fact, in Luke chapter 17, in verse 10, we read, "So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do." We do not deserve any attention at all from God because we faithfully bring the gospel. We're just grateful we have the opportunity, but we are unprofitable servants because we still do it very poorly. All that comes to us is a gift of God's grace. But in this life, as we bring that cup of cold water to someone who belongs to Christ, who is being called by Christ, who is being drawn by Christ, who already is a child of Christ, then there is a reward that comes to us, and that reward is the blessing we receive that we know we have been obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the blessing that we receive as we see the response in the life of this one that we are ministering to. We see that we have helped him. Oh, you've had this experience many times where you have gone the second mile in helping a friend in some way or another, and you see the gratitude of their heart, or even if you don't see the gratitude of their heart, you know that their lot is just a little better because you have helped them, and you have that good feeling within yourself that you have been able to help them. You've had that experience, haven't you? And that is the reward that we will not lose. It is the reward of the joy of obedience. But don't ever mix this up with some kind of a work salvation, making it into a work salvation. I somehow want to add to the salvation God has given me. Then we begin to have a gospel that is different than that of the Bible. We're saved by grace alone, and there's nothing that we can do to add to that wonderful salvation. Oh, it is true that in heaven, God does declare we will be given various authorities. And a lot of people read this and they still have the mind of the secular world thinking that to be given authority is some kind of a reward. And in the minds of the world, indeed, this is true. You know, when a man comes into power, he becomes the president of a land. He may, as rewards, to pay off his political debts, he may make this man a judge and that man give him some other office heading up this commission, and so on. And in that case, to receive authority is a reward. It is pay. The wages are being paid for the task that has been done. And this is the mind of the world. This is the mind of the world. And those who are very secularly minded, who are very worldly minded, they read these parables of Jesus where he talks about a man being given authority over five cities or two cities, and they read in this that this is some kind of a reward or this is some kind of pay. This is exactly what the world would recognize in these particular parables that Jesus is preaching or teaching. But the fact is that when we look at the kingdom of God through the eyes of the Lord Jesus and realize that we are to walk very humbly and we're not to seek the rule over others, the rule over others is not some kind of a reward. It's not some kind of a great and wonderful thing. It is simply a responsibility that God lays upon us. Then we will see that that is not equated with rewards at all. When Christ created us, when God created us, and He made one man a very marvelous evangelist with the talent of bringing the gospel to great crowds and really opening up the word to them, and on the other hand, He gave someone else barely the gift of speech so they can barely lisp out a little bit. One has one kind of a responsibility and the other has another kind of responsibility. But we certainly don't say that that great evangelist was rewarded much differently than the one who can barely speak about the gospel. That has nothing to do with rewards. It has to do with responsibilities God has laid upon us. And so it will be in eternity. God will give us various responsibilities, but this is not to be looked upon with pride, with holy arrogance of some kind. Look who I am. I rule over five cities. Oh, you poor fish, you only have one city. What nonsense. That's the mind of the world. That's the mind of sin. This mind of the flesh, that's the carnal mind. The mind of the Spirit is that, oh my, look at the responsibility God has given me. I'm not worthy of this. I trust that He will give me the grace to do this task well. I'll do my very best in this. And my, you have your responsibility. It's an entirely different kind of responsibility, but I'll be praying for you that your responsibility is, which is quite different and measured in the eyes of the world, may seem to be a lot smaller responsibility, but nevertheless, I'll be praying that God will give you the grace and the strength to carry out your responsibility. This has nothing at all to do with rewards. We must get rid of this idea in our minds. Never, never, never work for Christ because you're looking for some extra pay, some extra wages. Then it means that we're saying to God, you owe us something, and then it's no longer of grace. And then if God is going to owe us something, then He's going to measure up the kind of work that we have done, and He's going to discover that every area of our work is tainted by sin. And if His measurement is going to be faithful, His justice is going to be worked out altogether, then it indicates we're still under the wrath of God because sin has to be dealt with. I just don't want to have my works measured at all. And I know they will not be measured because God has paid for all of my sins. There is nothing at all that has to be measured. What responsibility God may give me in eternity, that is God's business, but it is not a reward. It is not pay. It is not wages. It is simply God's program, and I trust that whatever responsibility God may give me, whether it's a very tiny, tiny little responsibility in a corner somewhere in the kingdom of God, or whether it's a little bit different kind of a responsibility involving a little larger area, is really unimportant what altogether. All I want to know is that I will be faithful in the responsibility God might give. And I am so grateful, I don't understand it, that God blesses so greatly in this time as I can bring a cup of cold water and you have the same experience as you bring the cup of cold water. As we see the blessing in the lives of those who have been blessed by that cup of cold water or that cup of that by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whatever form it was brought to this individual. Oh my, isn't this salvation program God has given us a wonderful salvation program? Well, our time has run out. We'll go on in our next study with the next verse. Until then, may the Lord richly bless you.